Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for coming and being part of this study. This is going to be a very interesting series. As we study last day events in chronological order, trying to understand the question, are these the signs of the times? Amen. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank thee for your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness, your health, your strength. Bless us, give us wisdom, guidance from on high. Speak through me, to me, to the people, that they might be able to understand your will and your word. Forgive us of our sins, purge us, and hide me behind the cross of the Messiah. In your Son's name we pray, amen, and amen, and amen. Okay. I guess y'all need to get geared up for this one. This one is going to be an interesting series. Okay. Well, I guess we can get started. We're going to be trying to understand last day events and see if they relate to the events that are transpiring all around us. There are many views on last day events. We're mainly going to be using Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. These are what we call the Gospels, according to the Gospel, last day events according to the Gospel. There's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John does not have these events in it. Only the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Again, that's Matthew 24, Luke 13, and Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Now, you might be asking, why is this important? Last week, when we were studying, we were learning about the 11 events that marked the Messiah's first coming. And so, it is all related around the spring feast. And so, now, the last day events, as they relate to your Messiah's second coming, are going to transpire also around the fall feast days. And they will relate to last day events. And there'll be 21 of them instead of 11. Okay, the second coming will have 21 events. Are we missing them? Are they transpiring all around us and we don't even realize it? Some people believe, now this is in the, these events you should be able to find in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 through 39. Notice what it says. But as the days of Noah were, as I said, that was in Matthew 24. Make sure everybody has that. Verses number 37. Through 39. That's what we will be reading. And it reads, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So they're saying, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at when Messiah comes the first time, and then when Messiah comes the second time. Okay? So we know about the first time. We looked at that last week. And so now we're going to look at the events as they transpire today. Also, the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving and marrying until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Okay, so it lets them know that, you know, the same things we do today. We eat, we drink, we marry, we give in marriage, and so forth. So those things are happening today, and they happened at the time of Noah. They happened at the time of the Messiah's first coming. Okay, so these are normal things, okay? But then he says, until Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came. So they did not understand that they were not listening to Noah. They were not listening to the preaching. They were not realizing that they were living in their last days, the past annals of time. And so the same thing at the time of the Messiah, they did not know that they were living with the Messiah. Now, some of them had a glimpse of it, and the leadership knew, but they were just lying to the people. Okay, because in the beginning, you can read in your book of John, when Nicodemus meets Yeshua, he says, we know, who's we? We, the Sanhedrin, we, the leadership of the Jewish church. We, you know, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders, the priesthood. We know that thou came from hell. They knew it. He testified that they knew it. Okay. But the people did not know. They kept deceiving the people. And he would say that, yes, he represents Yahweh and all that. And they would say, no, that you're a blasphemer and so forth. So that's the same way it will be in these days. That as we try to preach the truth, they will call us heretics. They will try to kill us. They will do all type of things to stop this message from going forth. So that people could ignore you and not listen to you. And took them away until it is too late. And took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So this is where we find ourselves. This is where we start. So this is a very important verse. Very important for people to wrap that around themselves, to understand these verses. Okay, let's read Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us. Tell us what? Tell us, when shall these things be? That's number one. And that's one question. And what shall be the sign of that coming? That's two questions. And of the end of the world? That's three questions. This Messiah is asked three questions. Tell us, when shall these things be? The destruction of Jerusalem. We talked about that last week. Where there will be not where there will not be one stone left upon another. Question two, what shall be the sign of your coming? Question three, what shall be the sign of the end of the world or the end of the age? Okay. Now, when we talk about last day events in chronological order, we have to look at quite a few things. We also have to be able to parallel it to what we call the Revelation and Daniel, because they give details. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, not John. The three Gospels give the order. So you have to be able to study them in conjunction. With each other. Okay. Okay. We're going to go through a series and tell you some of the mundane signs. As we look in the book of Revelation, we have 21 major events. Seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven plagues. Okay, now when we go through the Gospels, especially Matthew 24, I break this down into nine areas. Okay, Matthew chapter 24, we'll go into detail, just giving you a layout so you can start looking. Matthew 24 verses 4 and 5 is deception. Okay, and we'll be able to parallel that with the seals, the first seal. And then we talk about wars in verse 6, and that's the second seal of the red horse. Then we talk about famine or Great Depression, which is seal number 3. Then we talk about pestilence. That's seal number 4. But now remember, all of these are go together. So when you get to the fourth seal, you have war, famine, pestilence, earthquakes, divers place, all of those things happening together. So when you read Matthew chapter 6 and 7, 24 verses 6 and 7, you will see that. Then we have the persecution caused by the true gospel being preached. So you're persecuted because you teach the gospel, because now you expose the counterfeit. And that's found in Matthew 24 verses 8 through 14. We will look at that. Okay, then we're going to, then the next major order is Matthew 24 verses 5 through 20. That's where the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, whosoever readeth, let him understand. A very important thing that needs to be understood. Many people have many different type of applications of the past of what the abomination of desolation is. Then during this time of verses 8 all the way up to verse number 28, you have the abomination, you have the persecution, you have the gospel being preached. This is what the time we call the Great Tribulation, which everyone will live through. There is no secret rapture. No one is leaving the planet without going through the Great Tribulation. Now, if you think you are, you will see clearly the scriptures do not speak such things. There has been misinterpretation because of the counterfeit church that has set up its rule and is deceiving, which is found in seal number 1 or deception. Okay, then we have event number 8 is Matthew 24 verse 9, where the sun and moon are darkened and the stars are fall from heaven. That's the sixth seal. Now, in between the fifth event, during the true gospel, during the abomination of desolation, during the tribulation, during that time frame, you have the seven trumpets blowing and the seven plagues being poured out. Then after that, then you will find after the tribulation, after those 21 events occur, or most of those 21 events occur, then you have the sixth seal with the sun and moon occurring and ending with the second coming of the Messiah. Okay, so these are the events in chronological order using the Gospels to come up with this. So what we'll do at this time, we'll take a break to hear from our sponsors. Okay, it doesn't seem like the break commercial is working. So we will go forward. Okay, so now that we understand the orders of events, all I did was just go straight down the scriptures, verse by verse. Let's look at these first signs. What does the first sign mean? Okay, well, as we might say, let's read this. Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5. And Yeshua answered and said unto them, take heed. I mean, take care. Look out. Be careful that no man deceive you. Now, first of all, who is Yeshua talking to? Is he talking to the church or is he talking to the world? Now, he's not talking to the world because the world ain't sitting up here reading this book and they ain't listening to him, okay? And they didn't come to the Mount of Olives to hear him. And so he's talking to his church. He's talking to his people. So he's telling the church folk, take heed that the church people will be deceived. What? What do you mean the church people will be deceived? That's what he said. That take heed that no man deceive you, church folk. For many shall come in my name. And what name? In the name of Jesus. That's what he said. Many will come in his name, the name of Jesus, saying that Jesus, I am, saying I am Christ, saying that Jesus, because see, that's who's talking, I am, Jesus is talking, that Jesus is the Christ, and shall deceive many. Wow, that's heavy. That is seriously heavy. Take heed, be careful that no man deceive you. Why? Why don't you want to make sure nobody deceives you? For many shall come in my name, the name of Jesus, saying that I am, Jesus is the Christ, and shall deceive many. Wow. All right, okay. Whoa, that's a heavy scripture. Okay, let's look at Mark. Let's see what Mark got to say about all this. We said Mark 13, right? We're going to read verse 4 and 5. I mean, 5 and 6. Mark 13, we would like to read verses 5 and 6. Okay, let's see what's going on over here. And Yeshua answered them. And Yeshua answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Wow. There it is again. I mean, the three witnesses, I mean, how many witnesses you need? For many shall come in my name, the name of Jesus, saying that I am, that Jesus is the Christ, and shall deceive many. There it is again. Wow. So now you got two witnesses already that says exactly the same thing. Now let's turn to Luke for a minute here. Turn to Luke. Let's see if we can find anything in Luke. Luke chapter 21. And we should find the same thing there. Three witnesses, you know. Luke 21, verse number 8. Let's see what it says. And he said, take heed that no man deceive you. And be careful. Now he's telling us again, be careful, huh? That no man deceive you. The church, don't let the church deceive you. For many shall come in my name. And what name is that? In the name of Jesus, saying, I, Jesus, am the Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. So he says, hey, do not follow them. Do not listen to them. Do not go after them. Now we just heard it in three Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay. Let's see what else is jumping off here. Okay. Now, what does this mean? This is the first sign. Okay, now I'm sure that you have heard out of your pulpits. I've heard it out of the pulpits that I've been in. Some say that this means that Islam and Buddha is going to trick us, are going to deceive us. That's what he's saying. That's interesting. And I believed that for a long time because I didn't really understand the scriptures. You know, they tell you that, you know, you can't understand the scriptures. They can only, that's why they go to school and they will reinterpret it for you. And that's not at all what the Bible says. He says he would guide you and teach you all truth. He didn't say that the church would teach you anything. Okay, so don't believe that lie. That's a big lie. Lie from the pit of hell. Okay, so what do we say here? So does Islam and Buddha say that Jesus is the Christ? No, they don't. So it can't be talking about them. Okay, well let's look at this a little closer here. But does any of them come in the name of Christ? No. So where does that leave us? Okay, so we must look at an organization that say that Jesus is the Christ. That's number one. Okay, let's look at that. The only organizations that actually have the name of Christ written in their title are the Christians. The key word of Christian, Christ, that's Christ. Then they add I-A-N as Christians. So there's only one group that comes in the name of Jesus, saying that Jesus is the Christ. And that is the Christian movement. That's the Catholics, the Protestants, and you know, all of them characters. Interesting. Now, did the Protestant movement in the past ever tell us that? Yes, the Protestant movement said that the Pope sat on the throne of hell. I ain't saying nothing about this. This is what Martin Luther, their monk, said. Wycliffe said. Calvin said. These are all the reformers. Now they said that the Christian movement was, you know, the head of it was Lucifer himself sitting in Rome, on the throne of hell. So he, you know, this is the scriptures say, this is what it say. The organization that comes and says that they have the name of Jesus, and that Jesus is the Christ, and has their name Christ in their name, look out for them, because they are the ones that will deceive men. Wow. That's heavy. But he told us three times. The subliminal subduction, the propaganda that has been propagated in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Christian church, the Crusades, all of these different things, be not deceived. The only organization that actually have the name of Christ written in their title is Christians. So we're talking about the Christian movement. Yeshua is talking about the Christian movement. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm just a lowly servant, serving my master. So, is the Messiah telling us that we should take heed that no Christian deceive us? Is he telling us that the church will fall away from Yahweh and be teaching apostasy? Wow, that's some heavy stuff. Now see, now remember, I ain't writing none of this now. I'm only reading. And that's why they don't want black people to be able to read, because we will see what they're saying, what the Bible says. What does this really mean? And there's some heavy accusations here. Did you telling me that Yeshua starts off in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13, telling the people that the church, the Christian church, is not following him? That's why it's called Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That is the universal Christian church. That is the woman who's riding the beast. There you go. Now let's I know y'all like, whoa, Emmanuel. This is not good. Okay, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians, sorry. Let's look at let's see if the scriptures, you know, make it any clarification on any of this stuff. We'll look at chapter 2. We want to look at verse number 3. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and verse number 3. Let no man deceive you. Wait. We just read in Matthew, Mark, Luke. He said, let no man deceive you. Paul is saying the same thing. Let no man deceive you. That means this deception is going to be so great that it will fool the very elect. The people won't even know they believe and follow one thing. And they're not following at all. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Whoa. What did the Bible say here? Whoa. Let's hold it up here. Now remember, who is he writing to? He's writing to the Thessalonians, the people in Thessalonica. Telling them and warning them not to be deceived. Why would he tell the church to be deceived? There was no Buddha at that time and Islam and all this other stuff. Okay? So, since that's the case, he says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So he's talking about the church. The church will fall away. That's why when you read in Revelation 18, Babylon is fallen, become the habitation of devils, the cage of foul spirits, and the cage of every unclean and hateful book. So it tells us that the church is fallen. That's Babylon. The church is Babylon. Make sure you get that. America is Babylon. It's the only nation that claims to be under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, which is, it is not any of that. They're not liberty for all. They're not under God. But they are under a God. But they're not under Elohim. They are under the God of this world. Lucifer himself. Okay. So. Interesting. But let's read on now. Let's not get all excited. So. We see here that he says the church will fall away first. Wow. So if the church falls away, then who's running the churches today? Fallen people. Well, wow. We're going to deviate just a little bit here. I need us to turn to Revelation for a minute here. But in Revelation, we would like to look at Revelation chapter 14. No, let's look at chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. Now, if Yahweh is telling us, you know, to take heed, yet no man deceived, he knew we were going to be deceived. Okay, so how bad is this deception? Well, in Revelation 18, let's start at verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. That's us. That's America. All these Christian nations that they are. I think we're the only one to claim it. And that church that goes along with it is fallen. Remember, the woman who rides the beast in her forehead is written Babylon, the mother of the mystery, Babylon the Great. So we know churches, no question about it. And America, who claims to be fallen, is fallen, and it become the habitations of what? I didn't say this now. I'm just reading to you. Got it right there. That we are the habitation of devils. America and the churches? Wow. And the whole of every foul spirit. This is where people go hide out, you know, that they can make money off the people. And they be telling them, you know, the prosperity gospel and all of these different things. Bring us this, bring us that, and we'll give you, you know, it's all nothing but the selling merchandise of your soul. So that's where they hide out in the church. That's where they go make business money. The hold of every foul spirit. See, I didn't write this now. And the cage. You get that? The cage. You were in prison. Of every unclean and hateful word. So hatred is imminent throughout the church. Throughout the Christian denomination. White versus black. Racism of the highest order. You couldn't get more racist than the church. And that's why during the slave trade, they were justified in enslaving blacks because they said we didn't have a soul. We were one-third of a man. One-eighth of a man, sorry. And so they were encaging us, cage of every unclean, and hatred emanated from them. Jealousy, pride, envy, strife, division. You name it. And so that's what we have. Racism in America is so deep. Because we are the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So hatred emanates throughout the system of Babylon, America, and the church. Now, you might be saying, well, how could that happen in church? Well, remember the church, they named the slave ships after the after saints, and they said, and people of the Bible. And you remember that also in there that they had the KKK, which they believed was the armed force of God, the hand of God, to enforce the biblical teachings of racism of the church, which is still taught today. So you find that in the Bible Belt, that was the South, that's where they had slavery. That's where they whipped people. That's where they raped them. They did everything to their slaves. They said you could do anything to your slaves except one, teach them how to read. Now, it was illegal to teach a slave who they said there wasn't one-eighth of a human to read. Well, how could I read if I was ignorant? But that was the law, that if you ever taught them, you would go to jail. Wow. So that should tell you something. And that's why they call the religious right in this day. But, okay, so you do see that. Okay, let's get back to our study here. I've deviated from it. Okay. Now, it says, notice back to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Notice the same wording. Let no man deceive you by any means, by any measure, by any way. Do not let it happen. For that day shall not come, the second coming, except there come a falling away first, a falling away in the church from Elohim. They will no longer follow Elohim. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So the Bible is letting us know that our enemies are within the church, is the church, all of it. And the church has fallen so far away that that's why it says Babylon has fallen, become the habitation of devils, the cage of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That is developing, that is incest in the church. Okay? And that man of sin be revealed. So this is what has to happen first. Now remember, I didn't write any of these texts, but it was illegal for me to read them to you. Okay, let's see what else the Bible has to say. Okay, because these are some serious accusations you're making here, my brother. But I ain't making them up. Just reading. I'm sorry. I can read. You know, that was the whole point. That's a book we have to read, my brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd like to look at that. And we would like to start at verse number 13. We'd like to see what's going on here. 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. Notice what it says. For such are false apostles. What? Whoa. Well, where are apostles? Do the Muslims have the apostles? No. The Buddha have apostles? No. Well, somebody, okay, wait. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of the Messiah. Okay. Wow. Okay. So we have here the Bible clearly showing us the first seal, the first warning at the church. This is the only place where you have apostles, so they're false apostles. This is the church. You tell them the church is, this is the church. The church has fallen away. They're deceitful workers. They're transforming themselves into the apostles of the Messiah. And no marvel. He says, don't be surprised about this. This is nothing new under the sun. This happened at the time of the Messiah. Remember, the leadership, Sadducees and Pharisees, knew who Yeshua was, and they put him to death anyway. And they deceived the people and told them that he was a devil. He had a devil and all of these different things. Yeshua said, if they did that to me, then they're going to do that to you. And if they are not doing that to you, you can know for sure you are deceived. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Oh, wow. Were you telling me? And that's what Luther was saying, Martin Luther. Wycliffe. Huss, Calvin. They were saying that the Pope, the Christian Church, the universal Christian Church that's got the name of Christ in it, saying they're following Jesus. That's what it says. Is really following Satan. Wow. And Satan is representing as an angel of light. Remember, the devil did say that he wanted to place his throne above Yahweh's throne. And that's what he's doing. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Wow. Now, I don't know if you've ever read these scriptures before. And I'm sure you did not read them in context as it relates to the first year. But maybe. And that would be good if you did. But if you didn't, I pray that you will be able to see the light. Understand it. Be able to follow the Lamb. Whithersoever he goes. We pray that you are understanding and seeing what the book is saying about the first seal, the first sign. Wow. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. No marvel. He said, don't be surprised. It is not strange. This is what's supposed to happen. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Or the church, in essence. Wow. I mean, these are some heavy scriptures. I mean, I would like to say I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry, because this is the light that you need. Is there anything else? I mean, brother, you are going through some heavy scriptures. You're making some heavy parallels. Okay, let her know. Brother. Okay, let's learn. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's start off at verse number 1 through 5. Second Timothy, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days, what days? Last days. Are we living in the last days? Perilous times shall come. What does he mean by perilous times? Oh, right. Perilous times means that you got to be very careful. Deception is of the highest order. You will be so brainwashed to believe in the counterfeit. That's the Christian church, the counterfeit, that you will not know what is truth versus error. Wow. Perilous times for your soul shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Now, do you know any generation that's disobedient to parents? I know back in our days, if we spoke back, all right, we'd be picking up ourselves off the floor. Smack us without an instant, without even thinking about it. Truth, okay? Unthankful. Now, unthankful. They ain't thankful about nothing. They think that they should be given everything on a golden spoon. They think the world owes them something. Unholy. Without natural affection. And there we go. Without natural affection. That's all of this strange sex stuff. What's going on? Truth breakers. False accusers. Now, you know that people take bribes and people be doing that. And that's what runs through the, you know, that's what runs, that's how America is run. Through bribes and so forth. They pay off the congressmen and, you know, people making merchandise of your soul. Incontinent. Fierce. They are very fierce. So if you say something, man, they're ready to take your head off. Despises of those that are good. Now, you know that the stuff that we're going to be preaching, the people go want to, they don't want to hear. Traitors, heady, high-minded. You ever hear anybody high-minded thinking themselves that they're all of that? And they aren't. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of Elohim. Now, this is a strange one. Because I speak with people. And they said they love Yahweh, they love Elohim, but they don't read His word. Now wait a minute, how are you gonna love somebody you don't even spend no time with them? Oh, I speak in tongues. No, that ain't got nothing to do with it. How can you say that you love pleasure more than you love Elohim? So you got more time to spend partying, more time going to church, hanging out, you know. More time doing whatever you want to do, and you don't have no time to read the word. And that's what that is. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of. You got time to watch the football game, the basketball game. You got time for everything but studying the word. And there's something wrong with that. Seriously wrong with that. So know for sure that you're a lover of pleasure more than a lover of Elohim, if you don't have time. If you tell me you have not read the Bible through many times, you can know for sure that you're a lover of pleasure. You're not a lover of Elohim. Having a form of godliness. That means going to church. You know, I was told by my mom that, you know, she's in her 80s, that people that go to church, and it's a form, a fashion. Especially Easter time, you know, people get dressed up, man. They be getting the killer dress, killer clothes. Everybody ain't going there to no church. They go there to show off, like, you know, it's like a social club, a fraternity, a secret society. It's all of that stuff. Okay? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So he says, what turn away? They have no power of Yahweh in their life. It's not changing. If you tell him you don't have time to read the word, he ain't changing you. He didn't change you because you don't have the desire to follow. You don't have a desire to read his word. You don't have a desire to be with him. From such turn away. Wow. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days, what days? The days that we're living in today. Perilous times shall come. Traitors, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of Yahweh. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power from such. Turn away. I show you understand what the book is saying now. All right. Oh, man, this is some heavy stuff. I hope you are ready for all this now. Okay. All right. Now we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We're going to look at verse number 9. But don't get upset with me now. Like I said, I didn't write this stuff. Okay? Remember that. I did not write a word of this. I just can read, and that's why they told us that that's the only thing that you can do to a slave. You can't teach him how to read. But once he reads, it's over. It says, Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Wow. Did you get that? I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not. Now, you know, the church, you know, remember there's the Hebrews. Okay, let me backtrack just a little bit here. If you haven't listened to my studies of history of the Bible, people of color in the Bible, you can check that out on our website, www.peopleofcolor.com. That's www.peopleofcolor.com. It's that Abraham was a Hebrew. It says Abraham the Hebrew. And then Abraham had children, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all of them were Hebrew. So, and Abraham also had Ishmael, who was also, if the dad's a Hebrew, then Ishmael's a Hebrew. Okay, then you had Isaac. Abraham had Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you have Abraham has Isaac. Isaac have Jacob and Esau. The twins. Okay, when he has them, both of them are Hebrews. Esau is a Hebrew. And so is Jacob. Now, for some strange reason, people are saying that through the lineage of Ishmael and the lineage of Esau, the two Hebrews, the Hebrews, that that's where you get the Arabs and Islam and all of that stuff. Now, that doesn't make sense because he was a Hebrew. Okay, they both were Hebrews. No matter what whatever garbage the church teaches, but the church is teaching you, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that isn't correct. Okay, so if you have the same daddy, then you're that lineage. Okay, so then you had Jacob's name was changed. He wrestled with the angel that was changed to Israel. So now you have Israel. So you have that he's now Israel. He was a Hebrew, so he's a Hebrew Israelite. Okay, then he had the 12 sons, and he had one daughter named Dinah. Okay, so the 12 sons carried on his name, and they became the 12 tribes of Israel. We won't go into Jacob and Manasseh and Ephraim and all that stuff, but that would just deal with the basic. If you want that, like I said, go to the, you know, People of Color, www.peopleofcolor.com, to that website, and they'll point you to all the information that you might need. So, once you had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now you have the Israelites, the 12 tribes, the Hebrew Israelites, they're not Jews, okay? Judaism is religion. Hebrews and Israelites are descendants of a race. It's like you have the European race, okay? You have the Europeans, okay? Just wanted to let you know that. Okay, so anybody can accept the religion of Judaism. That's how you become a Jew. Anybody can accept the religion of Catholicism. That's how you become a Catholic. Anybody can accept the religion of Baptist. That's how you become a Baptist. So that's just religion. So Jews is not a race of people. Anybody can become one. Okay, and it says, and now also the church teachers, some of the churches teach that they superseded, the Gentiles superseded the Hebrews, and they are now the chosen people of Yahweh, and the other ones are not. And that's nowhere to be defined in Scripture, but they do use the Scripture that says that we are a spiritual Israel, that we are spiritual Jews, that we have been grafted in. Okay? So they use that text. And that's where it's making very clear that these guys who say they are Jews, who are grafted in, who are the people of Yahweh, the European Jews, or whatever you want to call them, and the church, these churches that say that they are now Yahweh's people, say they are Jews and are not. But what are they? If they're not the Jews, if they're not Yahweh's people, who are they? It says that they are the synagogue of Satan. Not knowing that the Christian movement who teaches this, that's what they are. Why? I did not make this up. I'm sorry, I can read. Okay, now let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Let's see what we find here. We're going to look at verse number 9 also. Excuse me. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. There you go. So these people who are the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, that they say that they have replaced Yahweh, that these are the European Jews or whatever. But the Bible says they're lying. Behold, I will make of them to come and worship before thy feet. So, through the last days, the time will come where we read in the thousand-year reign that they will bow down and worship before us and say that we are Yahweh's people. Wow. That's correct. 144,000, whoever Yahweh will use. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, this dawn thousand-year reign, and to know that I loved you. That's right. He loved his people Israel. He still loves them. But they're not who you think they are. Okay? Let's continue on. And I'm sure you were saying, wow, all of this is in the first sign. All of this is in the first seal. All of this is here. First seal. Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Wow. What do you say? That grievous wolves will come in to take over the church. No question, they have. And the wolves are running the church. That's the Bible just said. And the sheep are being deceived. Also, your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So that's where the prosperity gospel comes in. That people will have these mega churches and all of this stuff. Oh, wait. This is what the Bible is talking about. Also of your own selves. Shall men arise, speaking perverse things, drawing disciples unto themselves. That's what you have. That people aren't following Yahweh. They're following the church. They have to follow the denomination. I speak to them with the churches. Oh, well, there ain't nothing we can do about that. No, there's nothing you can do about it. But if you go follow them, you know where you're going and where they're taking you. For I know this, that after my departing, this is after Paul's death, that grievous wolves entering among you. Now remember, when Yeshua was here on the planet, he said, that the leadership was wolves in sheep's clothing. Remember that? That's what he said. Go back and read it. It's in the Gospels. Not sparing the flock. They're not going to spare the flock. They're going to devour them. And you know these people, they'd be always, all they do is beg for money. That's all they do, just beg for money. It's for money, money, money. And they are not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, drawing away disciples after themselves. That means they want your money. That's where the prosperity gospel comes in. That's where you get these mega churches. I know you probably say, now listen, brother. Yeah. I don't know. But brother, you are throwing down some heavy stuff. But yes, I'm supposed to, ain't I? I mean, y'all not expecting me to sit up here and, teach y'all a bunch of hogwash, right? Y'all want to hear the truth, right? All right, now, don't be messing with me now. Don't be messing with me. Okay, so let's look at Revelation. Let's look at Revelation again. If we look at the book of Revelation, we want to look at Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. And we're going to start off at verse number 1. And we're going to see how does the book of Revelation explain these texts. Okay, this first sign. That's what we want to be able to try to understand. How does Revelation explain this text? How does Revelation help us understand what's going on? Like I said, Revelation chapter 6. I told you everything is in detail in the book of Revelation. And the Gospels is just giving you general order. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. Uh-oh, now, there's a white horse. Ooh, wow. A white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Okay, that's verses 1 and 2. Wow. This is some heavy stuff. He said, first of all, he opened the first seal. When he opened the first seal, the first sign represents or first seal. Okay. And he said that it's a what? A white horse. Okay. What else did it say? That he sat on him, had a bow. Had a what? Had a bow in his hand. Okay, so that's the second thing. He's coming with a bow. You know, like the bow and arrows, you know? Okay. Anything else? He said, a crown was given to him. A what? A crown was given to him. See, he didn't own any crowns. He's given a crown. Okay. And then what is the last part? He went forth conquering and to conquer. Wow. I mean, this guy just went off the rampage. He went forth conquering and to conquer. And who is he conquering? And why is it a white horse? Well, you know, white is supposed to, in this society, represent purity and righteousness. Okay, so it's supposed to go forth as an angel of light. That's what the white horse represents. Remember, we read that already, right? We said that he would come with a what? A white horse? Angel. We read that. Angel of light. That's what Satan would come, as an angel of light. And no strange thing that his, what? That his ministers will come as ministers of righteousness. Okay. Now, it says that this one had a bow. Okay. When you read in Revelation, we'll turn there also in chapter 19, we see that a crown was given to him. He did not own any crowns. Well, when we read in chapter 19, this one, the Messiah, see, so this is the counterfeit, so he has to act like he is, you know, is representing the Messiah, as we have read already. And what does he go forth? He goes forth conquering and to conquer. And he is conquering the whole planet and everybody he can get a conquest of. Wow. So these are the major signs for the first seal. And as you can see, that this is the same deception that we just read about in the first, representing the Christian church. The names, those who come in the name of Christ. Those who come in the name of Jesus, as the Bible says. Well, let's turn there for a minute to Revelation 19. So you can see that this is the counterfeit, that they're trying to counterfeit the Messiah. They're trying to do what? They're trying to counterfeit the Messiah. What does that mean? They're trying to act as if they're, you know, really the true one, when they are the what? The counterfeit. We talked about that earlier. Okay. We talked about in Revelation chapter 19, we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11. Okay, because we're going to be making this comparison. That's what we're trying to do. We're making a big comparison. Okay. Revelation. Chapter 19. Starting at verse number 11. Let's see if this gives us the same, excuse me, the same person that we just read in the first seal. It's going to be similar. I mean, it has to be similar if he's the counterfeit, right? Okay, let's take a deeper look at this. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Okay, let's hold it right there. Okay, so first of all, what do we see? A white horse, right? We see Yeshua coming on a white horse. But what else do we see going on? And it says his name is called what? Faithful and true. Okay, so we know Satan is not faithful and the brother is not true. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes, and so we know the devil and his imps, the crusades and all of these people and the movement of the Christian world has not been moving in righteousness and in judgment. Okay, but they are going forth conquering and to conquer. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Okay? What does he have? Many crowns. Now before, the one that we read earlier had what? A crown given to him. One crown given to him. So these are not the same people, even though they're both riding white horses. One is the counterfeit of the other, trying to act like him. And if you don't study to show yourself approved, that's why the Bible says, study, show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, so that you will see through the propaganda that is going on. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. So this is not white. He don't have on a white garment. It's a blood dipped in blood, a red garment. And his name is called the Word of Elohim. So he tells us who this is. The Word of Elohim. Now we know who the Word of Elohim is, that right? The Word of Elohim is the Messiah. So we know who that is now. So now we know that his name is written on him. Now this other guy don't have a name. He's just disguised as an angel of light, appearing one way with wolf clothing on and trying to, a sheep clothing on, trying to mix in and devour the wolves. I mean, being a wolf, devour the sheep. And the armies that were with him in heaven followed him upon a white horse. So everybody got white horses. So that's why the first one, you know, the counterfeit is riding a white horse, thinking he can just cover up and be part. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You see, they're dressed in white. Yeshua is not dressed in white. But they are. And so he thinks he could just fit in. And out of his mouth goes forth a sharp sword. Okay, so what goes out of his mouth? A sharp what? Sword. Now, we read that in the other one, it's not a sword that goes out, but what? He has a cross. Oh, cross. The crucifixion, basically. So it's like the Pope. He's dressed in white, and his bishops and all of that, and they come in white, representing the white horse, and they have a crown on them, the Dagon crown, and they also carry this crucifixion, which is a bow. Now, the bow that we're talking about in the time of the Roman Empire was crossed, the crossbow. So it looked just like the crucifixion. That's what it was, that type of cross. It wasn't the bow and arrow. Okay? Just want to make sure you understand that. Okay, so this is this guy, and that's what they walk around with today. I remember I asked this one guy, I said, who do you know that's dressed in white, carries a bow, and wears a crown? And this guy drew a picture of the Pope for me. I said, yes, this is exactly a prayer. I said, wow, this is the movement of the Christian, the universal church. Christendom. That's how it came into being. From paganism. Remember, they worship idols, and they just changed the name of their idols from Zeus and all of them to Jesus and Mary and Joseph and, you know, Paul and Luke and John, you know, and all that stuff. That's what they did. So it's nothing but paganism. It's nothing but unrighteousness. And you can tell by the crusades of Masoretic and slaughtering the people and ripping the people off. As it is today, no change. So, notice it said the sharps go forth a sharp sword that with it he might smite the nations. So he's conquering too, just like the other one. The other one is conquering, and they're conquering in the name of Jesus. You remember that? Because who come in the name of Jesus and shall rule, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty Elohim. Now, we're going to read a little more about Elohim. We're going to read a little more about the... But we have talked before of how he will smite the earth. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth out the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty Elohim. Now, the wrath is the last seven last plagues. Okay, let's make sure you understand. The wrath of Yahweh is the seven last plagues. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Okay, so now he's going to give us the hint who he is. King of Kings. There it is. And Lord of Lords. That's the name that is written on him. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great Elohim. Okay? So we can see here that when we make this comparison of Revelation, when we compare the two, we find out that there's some funniness going on here. It should not have happened. So they're not the same. So we see that Yeshua comes on a white horse. He's called Faithful and True. He has many crowns. He's not given a crown. It's called the Word of Elohim, and he comes with a what? Sharp sword. This is entirely different. And it says it's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So this is entirely different than the one that we saw with the white horse. With a bow and a crown. Not the same character. They don't act alike. They don't appear alike. And they're not the like. They have nothing in common. One is the counterfeit, and as we would say, the other is the true. And which ones do you think is the counterfeit? And which one do you think is the true? The Bible tells us. I just want you to think and start realizing what Revelation is saying in this first seal, what Matthew, Mark, and Luke are saying with the first sign or warning of deception. This is the deception. It was a falling away, and this man of sin is being revealed. I pray that you're able to understand this, because this is just the first seal. Or the first sign of the Messiah's coming. Are we asleep? Do we have to be awakened? Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, for thy light is come. Now next week we're going to go and look at least the second sign found in Matthew 24, which is parallel with the second seal found in Revelation 6. I think you're going to find that one very interesting as it relates to the drone wars. as it relates to Desert Storm, as it relates to all of these events that are transpiring all around us. And we are dead asleep. Awake now that sleepest and arise from the dead, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. May Yahweh bless you, may he keep you, may his wonderful grace pour upon you, may he give you peace. And as I said, please visit our website and look at the material. Get the material so you might become a better student of the Word. That's www.peopleofcolor1.com. There's no spaces. That's www.peopleofcolor1.com. May Yahweh bless you, keep you, may his wonderful grace pour upon you, and may he give you peace.